Chef Carl Shubat is known for his ability to create inventive and approachable menus that marry regional and international flavors. The New Orleans native began his culinary career in local restaurants before accepting the position of sous chef at Commander's Palace in 2011. 2 years later, at the age of 31, Carl was promoted to executive chef at Cafe Adelaide. Carl is a culinary dynamo. But in 2014, he was diagnosed with advanced esophageal and gastric cancer, underwent extensive surgery, and a long round of chemo. After recovering from that and getting clean scans, he opened a new restaurant, Baco Bar, on the North Shore, quickly followed by a second, DTB, in Uptown New Orleans. While preparing for the latter to open, he learned the cancer had returned. Carl has received many accolades, the most recent being the 2017 Eater Awards, naming him New Orleans Chef of the Year. He's also been named Chef Ambassador of Ochsner's Eat Fit program. We invited Carl to tell us the story of his electrifying career and how he's become a powerful voice for quality of life in the culinary industry. As native New Orleanians, we're obsessed with food. We're born that way.
Absolutely.
Carl, when did you decide that food was going to be your life?
To say that food was part of life is, you know, a literal explanation. I mean, it is life. It's every day. I grew up half Italian, and then the other side is Cajun, French, and German. So both grandmothers on either side could cook. You know, my grandfather on my father's side was one of the better cooks I had ever met, and literally grew up kind of tugging at their apron strings and always seeing that the center of every household was the kitchen. I mean, everything revolved around the kitchen. No matter how big or small that kitchen was, everybody was in there for some reason. One of my first food memories, actually, and this still sticks with me to this day, and this gives you a little insight into how we grew up here, right? Two things that I remember eating for the first time. One was a raw oyster on the half shell, and I got the instructions, and I don't know if it was like them laughing at me or them truly interested in watching me do this, but it was my dad and his best friend. And of course, you know, they were probably drinking a cold Dixie or 20. I don't know how many it was at that point. And I remember taking that oyster down, and it was ice cold, and I'm like, oh, this is so good. And then I started to kind of chew it and chew it and chew it. And that oyster didn't quite make it all the way down. But it became this kind of like challenge to me to say, like, well, everybody else loves these things. So eventually, into this day, it's absolutely one of my most favorite things, not only to eat, but to see just an ice chest full of unshucked oysters, uh-huh, and to grab an oyster knife and to crack them open. And then the other really vivid food memory I have is a very greasy paper bag with blood boudin noir inside of it as well. And that one didn't quite make it all the way down either. But I did try it. And again, to this day, boudin is, of course, one of my all-time favorites. You know, in New Orleans, people think, what do they say? We, you know, eat too much, drink too much, laugh too loud. It's like, well, that is the comfort for us. You know, you say comfort food, but that's literally when things are good or they're bad, we eat and we drink. And then, you know, that usually leads to the laughter, which who would want to live any other way, right? We also would go out to eat for special occasions. The special occasion place for us was Commander's Palace. And so that's where I really got the first glimpse of the chef as this, like, larger than life, bigger than my grandmother's kitchen. Food was more than just the comfort, more than just that. It was also an art form and a celebration and this just theater. It was as simple as a Cobb salad, you know, but it was like perfectly lined up and everything was diced perfectly. And I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, this looks very pretty. And then I started to eat it and I was like, okay, this makes a lot of sense that they cut everything that way for a reason. It was to get kind of, once you mixed it on your own, you got that perfect bite in every bite. You know, the mixture of the bacon and the blue cheese and the avocado and the shrimp or whatever it was. And then you started to think like, okay, all this is for a reason. This isn't just for the theater. It's the lines of the movie. Now they make sense to the surroundings. And that's when things really became more about the overall experience. I really want to see what's behind those doors. So, you know, my dad likes to tell a story. He said, one day I came home early from work, and you were about 16. You know, the lights were kind of turned down, and the TV was kind of turned up, and he's like, you know, expecting to maybe walk in on me doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing. Yeah, who knows?
Up to no good.
And he says, I walked in, and you had a Martha Stewart Living magazine with the recipe section opened up on your lap, and you were watching the Food Network, like, blaring, you know, and you were intently watching this stuff. He's like, at that point, I would have rather you walk in on you doing something taboo. He's like, because then I was really kind of worried about you. Like, what's going on with this kid? You know, from then on, it was, what do you want for Christmas? Well, it wasn't CDs and things like that anymore. It was cookbooks and it was, you know, textbooks on cooking and knives and kitchen gadgets. Yeah. And but I knew that I wanted to learn kind of the business part of it before the food part of it, so to speak. I was like, I can kind of learn the food part a little bit on my own. I sat down with Steve Woodruff, who's the director of operations for Commander's Palace. He was a good friend of my uncle. And his advice was, you know, I would jump in with both feet, maybe not go to culinary school, you know, continue to just like cook at different restaurants, get mentorship, apprenticeships, whatever you want to call them, and really tackle the business side of things and learn all aspects, the wine, the service, the food. And I took his advice, and that's what I did. And I just cooked at a few restaurants kind of in Baton Rouge area to learn how to work the line, so to speak, to just get that kitchen IQ, really.
So in college, you started working in restaurants?
I did. You know, mom and pop spots. So I got my degree from LSU, a bachelor's degree in business management, entrepreneurship. And then I started working in West End for Tommy Wolf at Wolf's for a little bit, doing front of the house, actually. I didn't even cook there because, you know, upon Steve's advice, I wanted to round myself out and do that. And then I helped open a restaurant called Fire on Annunciation, which was kind of a new spot, and it was kind of hip, and they were doing something different. It was right there by the Soleil. And I was working front of the house again. I really wanted to learn wines. And they had a cool wine program. It was all New World stuff. And the owner was very hands-on. Brenda Dar is her name. She's still a great friend and mentor of mine. But I knew they needed some help in the kitchen. So I said, well, you know what? Maybe I'll go get my associate's degree at Delgado, work a little in the kitchen, work a little in the front of the house, make ends meet, but still get that cooking degree that, you know, it can't hurt, right? So I enrolled at Delgado. And I remember one of the main chefs looked at me and said, so you have a bachelor's degree in business, and now you're getting, he's like, aren't you kind of doing this backwards? I said, I'm just here to learn, chef. And that day I left to go on vacation right after the first day of school, and then Katrina hit. Delgado called about 3 months later and said, hey, you know, would you rather us refund your money, or do you want to enroll when we get back up and going? I said, I'll go ahead and just take that check back if you don't mind.
One day of cooking school.
Yeah, whenever I tell people that, they always think it's going to end up in a much different story.
That's great.
So I kind of took that as a sign and said, you know what, let's just keep going. Let's get my butt back in the kitchen. Let's learn as much as I can. And that's what I did at Fire, and worked my way up to sous chef. And then we actually moved about a year and a half after Katrina to Grayton Beach, Florida, the 30A area, panhandle of Florida.
Were you married by then?
I was not. I was in my mid-20s. I got an offer to be the executive chef of a restaurant on the beach. And I was single. And I said, well, yeah.
Yeah, way to go.
Let's do it.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, of course, did a lot of learning, a lot of growing there. I was an immature, hotshot guy who thought he knew it all. And I was humbled very quickly by a lot of great mentors that are still in my life, and learned a lot of things. That's where I did meet and get married to and begin a family with my beautiful and wonderful wife, Alexandra, Alex Schubert. And we got married and we had our first child. His name's Carl. Well, it's Carl Joseph. He's a second, so we call him Carl because there's three Carls in our family. It gets confusing. And, you know, we really looked at our life and said, you know what, we love our life. We love where we are. Of course, we're at the beach. It's great. It's this whole thing. But it's not New Orleans. It's not, you know, I was at that point, I had gotten some acclaims, some accolades, definitely big, kind of big in the restaurant community. But I was, I guess, what you'd call a big fish in a small pond, so to speak. And, you know, we were all about challenges and pushing ourselves. And my dream was to open and own or become a chef in New Orleans. I mean, this is a city I grew up in. This is a city that birthed, so to speak, the chefs I emulated. So made the decision that we wanted to move back. So I started the feelers out there and contacting people I knew and chefs and people I'd worked with and all that kind of stuff. And a friend, I think, passed along my resume to Lally Brennan. And I got a call just randomly from Tori McPhail. And he said, you know, we got your resume, got a hold of it, like, what a C, you know, would you like to come down, stage, blah, blah, blah. And I was kind of like, oh, let me step outside for a second here. And then it became real. I staged at a few places and interviewed at a few places. I got some great offers to be executive chef, some, you know, chef de cuisine, some sous chef here or there. And, you know, Commanders just kept coming back to front of mind. You know, if this is truly about growing and about learning and about maturing and about getting my name out there and really just being better at what I do, then is there really a much better restaurant in the city?
So you leave your executive chef spot. What is the position that you then move into at Commander's?
So I was a sous chef there. Technically, I guess PM sous chef. There's a big brigade over there. And when you come in from outside in that kitchen, it's very challenging because you're basically superseding a bunch of people who busted their butts working from the ground up in blood, sweat, and tears to get, you know, that to that kind of sous chef position. And, you know, so you kind of have a bullseye on your back from the get-go with different people, and rightly so. It's a competitive kitchen. It's a real deal place. Yeah, so I was a sous chef there, of course, with the intention of, you know,
moving on.
Keep going, you know, right? So,
but then something magical happened when it came time to move on.
So we got news that we were going to have another baby. And it was going to be a girl this time. And it was just unbelievably exciting and scary and emotional and all that stuff at the same time. And then not too long after I got that news, T and Tori pulled me aside and offered me the position of executive chef at Cafe Adelaide, which is, of course, their sister restaurant in the Lowe's Hotel, and a beautiful space and just charming spot and a fun menu and just a huge opportunity because I'd only been there with the company for about 2 years.
What an incredible thing. It just shows you how the cream rises to the top.
Well, I appreciate that, or they're really desperate. I'm not sure.
No, I don't think that was it.
No, it was a very quick marriage that really just worked out, you know, and you can tell when things are working out and that you're clicking on the right cylinders.